2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm just going to read a couple verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It reads, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And I want to speak this morning on the topic of the chain of discipleship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for all that it teaches us, Lord, and all that you want us to learn from it, Lord. We pray that you would help us to understand these principles that we look at today, Lord, that we would learn to fulfill our roles that you would have us to do, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we see in the Scriptures many places of where it uses the word and the term disciple. And, of course, when we hear the word disciple, we instantly think of the 12 disciples. And it is something we want to understand what it means to be a disciple, what exactly a disciple is. From the dictionary, we understand to be one who is a learner or a student or an adherent. But we understand that it's much more than someone that just sits at a desk and just someone lectures to them and then they take notes. Someone that's a disciple is someone that learns through a relationship with another person. They spend time with that person. They learn all aspects of who they are, what they do, how they act, and they seek to imitate and become like them. It's much more like an apprenticeship in many ways, where a person learns by doing and not just by taking it in. And we see that principle with the Lord Jesus, with his disciples. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. In verse 13 we see, "And when it was day, he," being Jesus, "called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." And we understand that that the 12 disciples were not the only disciples that Jesus had, but they were the 12 specifically that he worked with. And we see in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, Mark chapter 3, and verse 14, again after a night of prayer, it says, "He ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach." And that was the thought, that these disciples, these 12, were to be with him. They were to spend time with him, and that they were to learn from him, not just by what he said, by what he did, by every aspect of his life. And that is a blessing to know. As you've probably found, someone, you can have someone that tells you what to do, but it's so much nicer to have someone that shows you what to do. And that's exactly what Jesus did, that he would help them through with things. And we see the big part of Jesus being a discipler to them is that he instructed them to follow him. Mark chapter 1, verse 17, he says, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And all throughout the Scriptures, we think of that, of how Peter and Andrew, James, and John were at the seaside mending their nets, and he said, "Follow me." We think of Matthew was a tax collector sitting at the receipt of customs, and Jesus comes up to him and says, "Follow me." And they forsook all and they followed him. And so that is the idea, that to follow someone, to learn from them. And we realize that this idea of being a disciple, it involves a commitment, it involves self-denial. It involves counting the cost, giving up one's own time because they want to focus on something that's very important. And we see this in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Matthew 16 and verse 24, it says, "And Jesus, then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And so that is what we are to do And any disciple of the Lord is to do is to follow Him, to take up our cross, to deny ourselves. But we want to understand as well with the idea of discipleship, when the Lord chose the 12 to be with Him, that it wasn't that it was some kind of select group, that they were sort of like in a higher level than anyone else, that we definitely know they certainly didn't earn their place. We see some of the crazy things that they did, and you wonder, well, why would He choose these 12? But we understand that discipleship is a preparation for leadership. That we know with the Lord Jesus, He knew He was only going to be on the earth for a very short time, and so He had to use His time to the best that He could. And so what He did is He spent time with these 12 and trained them so that then they could be the leaders as well. And we see that principle as we begin to look in Acts. We turn with me to Acts chapter 1. And this is after Jesus has come into, gone up to heaven. And it says, in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and we have a tendency to almost think, well, He stood up in the midst of the disciples in the midst of the 11. But we understand where it says the number of names together, about 120, that the disciples, we understand, were to be that 120, the whole group of them that were with them. And we see, as we continue on in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, that there, we think that there's these 12 disciples to begin with, but now there's more and more disciples, and they're each being trained and taught and instructed. And then as they are trained and taught and instructed, then they do that as well. And we see that continue, that it starts spreading to other towns. We see in Acts 11, verse 26, of how a handful of disciples, they ended up going to Antioch, and a church was assembled there. And it says, verse 26 of Acts 11, that the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. That these ones, that they're called little Christ, imitators of Christ, that they followed the Lord. And so we see the pattern, and that is what we want to understand where we think of this idea of a chain of discipleship. That the Lord wants it to continue from one person is discipled, and then they in turn disciple another person, and then it continues on. And of course we understand as well that God is not interested in merely being just an addition of disciples. We see He's interested in a multiplication of disciples. He wants to have it continue to grow, to expand, to continue to be greater. And so we understand this principle, and we want to apply it to our own lives. We want to see, well, where do I fit? What am I to do? What does this mean to me? And first of all, we want to understand that each of us, no matter where we are in our Christian life, that we need to be discipled. That we need someone to follow. We think of the disciples of Christ, that they were to follow after Him. And that is the same thing, that we're never at a point where we know enough, that in our Christian life we can say, well, I've plateaued, I'm good enough, I don't need to really grow any further. We all know that we're not going to be like Him until we get to the other side, that our whole purpose, our whole point is to be conformed to the image of His Son, and that we continue to do that. And so that is the call that Jesus made to His disciples to follow Him. He makes the same call to us, that we follow Him each day, that we seek to become more like Him. We seek to think of how did Jesus act, how did Jesus respond to different situations, that we learn from Him in that way. And so we need Him to disciple us in that way. And we also understand that no matter where we are in our Christian life, that there is always other Christians who are more mature than us, who have had different experiences that we can learn from, that we can glean a great deal from them. And of course, we need to always be wise in understanding who we look to as guides in our life and disciplers, but it is something we need to be looking for. That it says in Hebrews 13, verse 7, it says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. that we see those who have been faithful through the years, that we can learn from them. People who have a good testimony, even people that we know that are great prayer warriors, that we can learn much from them. I know this week when I was in Caleb Village and gave the devotion, I got done at 10 o'clock, but I didn't leave until 10:30 because an older gentleman by the name of Gordon came and talked about many different things and just expressed his heart, his burden for different people in there to get saved. And it was just a blessed time. I came to kind of give the lesson, but I ended up getting a lesson myself that was longer and more thorough than what I gave. And it is a blessing that we can have that. And we think of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." That we understand that we don't follow someone unless we see that they're following Christ, that they're in that chain, that they're linked to the Savior. And as we see that they're close to the Lord, we see that they're serving the Lord, it should be something that we desire to be with them. We desire to learn from them. I know the times that I got to spend with my father-in-law, and he's since gone to be with the Lord, but he was a pastor and greatly respected him, and then I found out he had a daughter, and she ended up wanting to marry me, and it was such a blessing. But it was just such a blessing to have him as a father-in-law for the short time that I did, and that the time that we could spend, that I could learn so much from him. And it's something that we desire to have in our lives. And that's what we are to do in our Christian life. We want to grow. We want to become more like Christ. So we need to seek those out, these people that will help us to grow, that will challenge us, that they won't just tell us what we want to hear and make us feel kind of comfortable. Sometimes we need someone that will make us a little uncomfortable and tell us what we need to hear and help us along our way. We think how it speaks in 2 Timothy chapter 4 of ones that would not don't want to listen to sound doctrine, that they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, that they would find those that would tell them what they want to say, so that they wouldn't be convicted, they wouldn't be challenged to go forward. But we understand that if we are to become more like Christ, we need to be challenged. We need to sometimes have ourselves just examined and things opened up that we've never seen before, so that the Lord can work in us. And we think of that, it says in Proverbs 27 verse 17, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so doth a man sharpen the countenance of his friend." And that's what we look for, is friends that are going to sharpen us, that are going to make us stronger in the Lord, that are going to help us to become more like Christ. And that is the idea that we're to have in our Christian life. It says also in Proverbs 13 and verse 20, it reads, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." And that is the principle we see so often in life, that if we're known by the company we keep, and if we make that decision that we want to be with someone that's going to help us to grow, that's going to strengthen us, that's going to encourage us in the Lord, that we know that that'll help us to be stronger, that'll help us in our growth, and so we're to pursue after that. And if we stay with, just with, as it says, a companion of fools, those that don't challenge us, then we find ourselves actually backsliding and turning further from the Lord than we would desire to do so. And so we see that in our life, that we need to be discipled. We need to follow the Lord. We need to follow those who are following the Lord for accountability, for encouragement, for that day-to-day help, that we would stay on the right track. But then we also understand that with all of us, no matter where we are in our Christian life, that we also need to look to be disciplers. That we look at different people around us that are new in faith, we think no matter where we are in our Christian life, there's always someone that's more mature than us. But we also think wherever we are, there's always someone that's less mature than us. We think of a baby Christian that's new in the faith, that doesn't understand the truth. We think of someone that's lost, that has no understanding, that we want to win to the Lord. That they are people that they need someone to help them. And that's the thought of it. So often we find that someone gets saved, whether it's it might be through a tract, it's through a radio or something like that, but when they don't have a group with them that they can learn from, that often they get discouraged. And even though they're born again, that they never grow, that they remain stunted as a baby Christian. And that's not what we desire. And we want to be looking for people like that, that we can come alongside, that we can encourage, that we can strengthen so that they can be faithful. And we think of that, how it says in the Great Commission that we're to go to all nations, and then we're to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But then we see verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. That we want to get people saved. We want them to pass from death unto life. We hope that they can get baptized and become part of a church. But we want to fulfill all of the commission and teach them as well. That when we minister to a person, when we share them the gospel, that we also have an obligation to fill them in on all the details, to give them a full understanding of what is expected of them, what's going to happen, just to get them to realize that, because sometimes, and you probably experienced it too, when you got saved, you think, well, boy, I'm saved now, everything's going to go great, and then you find out that the devil's your enemy and that he's trying to discourage you and distract you all the time, and then you have your own sin nature within you that's fighting against you, and so there's things that they need to be made aware of. And so we want to do that, and we want to understand that when we're discipled, when another person has taught us, and when we follow the Lord, that we're expected to be a discipler to someone else, that the discipleship that we have had is a preparation for leadership, that we think of that. And that's the principle that we see in the church in this verse that we read at the beginning, where it says, Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 2, the things which thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach under others also. That he had something committed to him. Paul told him the truth, spoke to him the ways of this life, and so then he was to pass it on to those around him. And he was to pass it on in such a way that they were to be able to pass it on to those beyond them as well. And that's the thought, that we never just look at it just in terms of our generation, just in terms of us, but we always think of the generations beyond, that we want to make an impact. And that the truth is not just a baton that we kind of hold on to for a time and flip it to the first person that we can, but that we are faithful in it, and that we make sure that as it has been delivered unto us, that we delivered it to someone else in the same way. And we see that as a principle within the church. We also see it as a principle within the home in Psalm chapter 78. In Psalm chapter 78, in verse 1, it says, Psalm 78, 1, give ear, O my people, to my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I'll open my mouth in a parable, I'll utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And that is the plan, the purpose that the Lord has for parenthood, is to train up the next generation to the point that they are able and ready to train up their children as well. That we need to have a vision for the church and for our families, that it isn't just kind of surviving, isn't just trying to keep them from the evil of this world, but to prepare them so that they might be able to teach others. That we have that heart, that we think of this chain of discipleship, that someone has passed it down to us, that we are to pass it down to someone else, that and we are to train them so that they may in turn continue that chain, that through the ages that this chain of discipleship might continue. And we think of it in our own selves, that both being discipled and being a discipler is important, that we need both of them in our lives. Because we realize if we're not being discipled, it's so easy to lose our focus. It's so easy to sometimes get proud and think, well, I'm where I need to be, and the way the Christian life is, it's like we're going up a slope, and if we're not going forward because there's so much opposition from the devil and the flesh, that we're going to be going backward. And so we need to press forward in that way, and we need to have that accountability, someone to help us on. We're always seeking the Lord and seeking to follow Him. And we understand also that we need to have someone that we're discipling, that the Lord has given us truth, He's given us things, and if we don't exercise it, if we don't put it into practice, then it's like we become spiritually lethargic, that we don't develop that muscle that the Lord... And really, we miss out on so many blessings to be able to have a chance to have a part in someone's life, to see them grow, to see them change, to see them get victory over things that have plagued them for years, that we have that opportunity, and it's something that we don't want to miss out of. But as we understand these things, both that we need to be discipled and that we need to be disciplers, we also want to understand that the greater the number of the links, the stronger the chain will be. That we talked about before, that Jesus was not concerned with just adding disciples, He was concerned in the multiplication of disciples. That He wanted it to spread as far as it could. And we think of how the Lord blessed that first generation of the church, of how Paul testified in Colossians that the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven. The thought that they were able to cover the world, the then known world. I don't know if they ever made it into America. They maybe didn't know it existed at that time. But we understand that they covered all the continents. You actually look in history of where the different apostles were martyred. You find somewhere in India, somewhere, I think St. Andrew, they believe that he was up near England and other places, that they spread out, that they shared the gospel as far as they could go, and that they were seeking to spread it that way. And that's what we want to think, that ahead of us, that there's many that we can look to disciple us, that we can learn from. We think of the Lord Jesus. We think of all these different people that we can study from in history, that we can read the sermons or hear the sermons of others. We can read the testimonies of others, and we can learn from real people, whether it's our own family, whether it's grandparents and others, whether it's just people that we get to know that have been in the faith a while. And that's sometimes how funny it is that we can find that in the Christian life, it's not necessarily age that determines whether someone's going to be a discipler or one that's being discipled. I remember this one girl in our church in BC, that she won a lady to Christ, and it was only actually a couple months before she passed away, but it was something that she was very much her elder in the flesh, but she was starting to disciple her and help her understand different basics of the Christian life. And so we can always think of that there's different people that we can learn from, and we understand if one falls that there's always someone else, and that there always we can look to Jesus. And we understand there's always many people to be discipled, and we can disciple one, and we can always be looking for more. We think those around us, baby Christians that we might know that are just new in the faith, if we can't find any baby Christians, we know we'll there's always people that haven't heard the gospel, that we can share it with them, they can be saved, and that we can minister to them. We think of it in the family, as well that that as parents that our own children have been given to us specifically to disciple, but we think also of our grandchildren, of our nieces and nephews, of cousins, that we all can have an opportunity to spend time in their lives to make a difference to them, that there's always there's no shortage of people that can be our disciples or those that we can disciple ourselves. And we think of that, the more the links, the stronger the chain, that if someone who has been a discipler, who people have looked up to, if they falter, if they fail, in many ways, if they're still part of the chain, that they can fall down, but they'll have a time of being discipled, to be restored, to be learning from others, so that they might get back into the ministry. And sometimes we find that we take turns learning from one another, discipling one another, that one of us might be strong in one area, have had experiences to help us through, and then other times the other person will be strong in another area, and it can go back and forth. I know this week, waiting with the baby coming, that Malia just said to Alicia, said that she was weary. And Alicia said, "Well, Mommy, Jesus is a rock in a weary land." And so it was some that we can look at that we can encourage one another, that we can learn from each other. And it's a thought that if Lord sends someone home, there's still others that we can minister to. That we think of that, how it says that smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered, but we understand if there's other people in the link that we can look to, that are leaders as well, that they can step in, that there is not that fear. And as we disciple others, we realize that sometimes we work with someone and we love them and we minister to them, but they turn aside and it breaks our heart. And we think of Jesus, how it says in John 6:66, of how he gave some hard preaching. It says many of his disciples walked no more with him, and how sad that would have been, but yet there were still others for him to minister to, that he was to continue on. And so that is the thought with us, that we seek to be part of that chain, that we don't break it on either side of us, that we always, through life, that every Christian, that we have our hand forward, that we're grasping onto someone that's further ahead than us, and we're trying to help someone that's behind us, to strengthen them in the faith. And that we have this vision of trying to make the chain as many links and as strong as possible. That we think of how it speaks in Hebrews 12 verse 1, that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that this long line in the past of people have been faithful whose testimony we can learn from. That we are so thankful for that, and we learn from them, and we hold fast for their sake. And then we also think that there's so many in the future that we can have an impact on, that we can make a difference to, that we realize how key our part is in the chain, that we realize that the Lord has put us where we are in a certain place at a certain time for a certain reason, that there's certain people that He wants us to minister to, and that we take on this role of being both a discipler and being one that's discipled as well, so that the Word of God and the work of God might be strengthened generation after generation, and that we would be faithful in doing what the Lord would have us to do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time, Lord. You pray You would help us never to think that we've attained, but to always be learning from one another, learning from You as we follow You, Lord, and follow those who follow after You. And we pray, Lord, You would give us a burden for those that we see around us. We realize, Lord, that You have put us in a place for a reason, Lord, and that there's people that we can minister to. Pray, Lord, that You'd help us to be faithful in that. Lord, that Your Word would have free course, that this chain would not be broken, Lord, but that we would just become stronger and stronger and more faithful to You as with each preceding generation. We just thank You, Lord, for all You have done for us, Lord, and pray You'd be with us throughout the rest of this day and this week. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me once more, and we'll turn to hymn number 394 and sing To the Work, hymn 394.